This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. The name Elizabeth Sprague Coolidge might not mean as much today as it did 50 years ago, but she was one of the 20th century's most notable patrons of the arts. She was an accomplished pianist who had inherited a great deal of money from her parents, and after her husband's early death, she devoted most of her time, energy, and funds to raising the status of chamber music in the United States. She helped establish the Berkshire Festival at Tanglewood in Massachusetts, the Elizabeth Sprague Coolidge Medal for eminent services to chamber music, and the Coolidge Foundation in partnership with the Library of Congress, which eventually led to the construction of the library's famous Coolidge Auditorium. Composers that she commissioned included Samuel Barber, Bela Bartok, Benjamin Britten, Howard Hanson, Sergei Prokofiev, Ottorino Respighi, and Aaron Copland. But the Copland Project almost didn't come about. Because her primary interest was chamber music by lesser-known composers, Mrs. Coolidge initially refused to support the Copland Commission when it was proposed to her in 1944, a ballet in collaboration with a well-known choreographer. But after the head of the music division of the Library of Congress intervened, she sent Aaron Copland a letter, quote, "Allowing myself the pleasure of asking you if you would accept a commission of $500 to be applied to the writing of a music score for a new dance program for Martha Graham," end quote. That dance program became one of the world's best-loved ballets, Appalachian Spring. Aaron Copland and Martha Graham had talked about a collaboration as early as 1941. Copland was already a household name after the success of his ballets Rodeo and Billy the Kid, and Martha Graham's name had become synonymous with the new direction of modern dance. Copland wasn't very enthusiastic about Graham's initial ideas, so she began to develop a scenario that would have the same sort of gentle spirit that had been at the core of Thornton Wilder's 1938 hit play, Our Town. This scenario would be the emotional heart of Appalachian Spring. According to Copland, the first script he received from Graham began, "This is a legend of American living. It is like the bone structure, the inner frame that holds together a people." As it was developing, Copland referred to his score as Ballet for Martha. The eventual title would come much later, and contrary to popular belief, it originally had nothing to do with the season of spring. It actually comes from a poem by Hart Crane, in which the words Appalachian Spring refer to a stream of water trickling through the hills. But there is no actual babbling brook in the ballet, and the action does take place in spring. So Graham must have been attracted to the words in their abstract sense. And just days before the premiere, that is what the title became. Graham's program note for that first performance read, "Part and parcel of our lives is that moment of Pennsylvania spring when there was a garden eastward of Eden. Spring was celebrated by a man and woman building a house with joy and love and prayer, by a revivalist and his followers in their shouts of exultation, by a pioneering woman with her dreams of the promised land." End quote. The plot is pretty straightforward and follows Graham's program. A bride and bridegroom get to know one another, somewhat shyly and nervously, and members of their community, including a revivalist preacher, express their own sentiments. The couple grows more comfortable with the ritual of daily life that lies ahead, with their humility underscored by Copeland's use of the Shaker tune, Simple Gifts. Finally, the couple greet the future with a sense of serenity. The score was so popular that Copeland ended up writing 5 different arrangements of the complete ballet, plus 2 standalone versions of its most popular section, the Variations on a Shaker Hymn. Most people know the score in the version for full orchestra, but the ballet was originally written for just 13 instruments: double string quartet, woodwind quartet, and piano. Copeland said later that, "I have come to think that the original instrumentation has a clarity and is closer to my original conception than the more opulent orchestrated version." End quote. The sound of Appalachian Spring is the sound that most people have come to associate with Copeland and with American classical music in general, and the ballet begins with those expansive open chords. Copeland wrote this outline to help the audience imagine the action the music was meant to portray. Scene 1. Very slowly. Introduction of the characters, one by one, in a suffused light. Scene 2. Fast. Sudden burst of unison strings in A major arpeggios starts the action. A sentiment both elated and religious gives the keynote to this scene. Scene 3. Moderate. Duo for the bride and her intended. A scene of tenderness and passion. Scene 4. Quite fast. The revivalist and his flock. Folksy feelings. Suggestions of square dances and country fiddlers. Scene 4. Still faster. Solo dance of the bride. A presentiment of motherhood. Extremes of joy and fear and wonder. Scene 5, very slow, as at first, transition scenes reminiscent of the introduction. Scene 6, calm and flowing, scenes of daily activity for the bride and her farmer husband. Then come the 5 variations on a Shaker theme, which begin slowly in the strings. Copeland wrote, "The theme, sung by a solo clarinet, was taken from a collection of Shaker melodies and published under the title The Gift to be Simple." The melody I borrowed and used almost literally is called Simple Gifts, end quote. It's the best-known section of the piece, even though it's not really authentic. Copeland later remarked, "My research evidently was not very thorough, since I did not realize that there have never been Shaker settlements in rural Pennsylvania," end quote. Variation 1 begins with the oboe and bassoon. Variation 2 features flowing strings. The brass take the theme energetically, punctuated by string runs. In variation 4, the winds pull back. If you're familiar with the variations as a standalone work, you might be waiting for the big finish here. Instead, the final variation becomes a somewhat ominous intermezzo. That turns into a busy, almost frantic section. Followed by a more ceremonial, fanfare-like passage. Back to Copeland's scenario here for scene 7, Moderato, Coda. The bride takes her place among her neighbors. Short new themes come and go here. Possibly representing the neighbor families. There's a premonition of hard times that may come. But at the end, the couple are left quiet and strong in their new house. With an echo of Simple Gifts finally turning into a big finish. There's a hushed, prayer-like passage in muted strings. And the close is reminiscent of the opening music. The night that Appalachian Spring premiered at the Library of Congress, October 30th, 1944, was a momentous evening for the arts in America. Besides Copland and Graham, the production included set design by Isamu Noguchi, and two members of the company, Eric Hawkins and Merce Cunningham, went on to become world-famous dancers and choreographers themselves. It was one of the greatest assemblages of talent on a single production in history. The fact that it almost didn't happen makes it that much more remarkable. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.